City Limits is a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media, and is funded by generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation, Grossman St. Amour CPAs, National Grid, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
41,000 Syracuse residents were below the poverty line in 2016.
At its core, poverty is about pushing down instead of having an opportunity to go up.
It's, generally speaking, lack of access to opportunity.
This is City Limits, a poverty project.
I'm Brian Moore, and welcome to City Limits. During my last report, I said something. One of the most effective ways of getting out of poverty is through employment. I need to preface that statement, and this is where we begin part two of my report on workforce development. Yes. Employment is a key element in getting out of poverty, but so is earning a living wage, and preferably in an environment providing a career track. Those employed without such important attributes can in many cases be considered the working poor.
Whereas you might finish an associate degree, what they call a two-year degree, the stats actually say that it's most likely you're not finishing it until 4 or 5 years.
Meet Eliyahu Lotan, Student Success Coordinator with the Workforce Development Program at Onondaga Community College.
Our population that we're concerned about is somebody who can't afford that kind of time, somebody who has kids to feed, has rent to pay, and is just not making it or not satisfied with, say, being a certified nurse's aide already for 10 years, and your back is totally killing you, and you want a profession where you can, you know, develop and not just do that. Or maybe you've been working at McDonald's or Burger King, or maybe at Dress for Less or something at Destiny Mall, where you look at it as a job, and, you know, it's okay temporarily, but eventually you say, wait a minute, I need a career.
More about the Workforce Development Program at OCC in a moment. As I discussed in part one of my report, there is a larger workforce development system that exists here in Syracuse, and in my wish to give a clear picture of that system, I turned to an old colleague.
It's been almost 10 years since the two of us was on a joint venture shared experience, Manchester Bidwell.
Right, absolutely. Well, Manchester Bidwell in Pittsburgh, you know.
It's nice to reminisce with Dominic Robinson about his days conducting economic development on the north side of Syracuse. Now he's Vice President of Economic Inclusion at Center State CEO, and while his knowledge of the local workforce development system is vast, he is very quick to note its complexity in relation to the work train program he currently directs.
I could write a dissertation on that. I mean, it's a workforce development is an incredibly complex system. There are two to three really big public systems that kind of drive workforce development. And the organizations associated with that in Syracuse are CNY Works, Jobs Plus, and then, you know, you could argue that the kind of associated training and educational institutions that are focused on workforce, that'd be BOCES, SUNY EOC, Syracuse City School District, and OCC.
WorkTrain is an initiative that connects industries with critical workforce needs to opportunities for the un- and underemployed. Because
we see real needs on both sides and yet a disconnect between those two markets, if you will. WorkTrain actually puts together partnerships and programs that really target certain industries and companies. And then, you know, we enlist various partners to come together and deliver people first and foremost who could be good fits for those industries, but then to develop programming that allow those people to get the skills and the orientation they need and the supports they need to move into those industries successfully and have successful careers where they're obviously making their lives better, but also where the employers are benefiting from having good workers.
One partner in this effort providing training and supports is Jobs Plus.
What we are really focused on is employer-driven, industry-specific, short-term trainings that lead directly to employment.
That's April English Palazzola. She's been with Jobs Plus for 20 years and is currently the team leader for career development. Through the work of her organization and other service providers, April has noticed changes in approach to workforce development based on growing concentrated poverty.
As poverty in the greater Syracuse area over the past 20 years has become more concentrated and entrenched, the workforce development entities realized that we needed to create pathways to living wage employment if we are truly going to offer a way out of poverty and a way forward to our residents. We accomplished this through a variety of approaches based on industry need and assisting our job seekers in the development of relevant skill sets that reflect those needs.
As a result of the increased collaboration she has seen over the past decade, many more individuals have been able to obtain access to job opportunities.
Between approximately 2008 and 2017, we had over 200 internationally trained medical graduates with a tremendous amount of experience in underserved areas and war-torn areas in Cuba, in Central America, in Iraq, who were looking for a path to re-enter their professions here in the United States. And there was not a clear path for that. And together, collaborating with the Syracuse City School District Refugee Assistance Program, with the Center State Work Train Initiative, with assistance from Upstate Medical University and Syracuse Community Health Center, we were able to assist these medical personnel with obtaining living wage jobs in the American U.S. health system.
It can be a long journey, going from being un- or underemployed to thriving, a journey that oftentimes incurs obstacles. Everyone I spoke with talked about these obstacles, and Eliyahu categorizes them as external and internal, with external being the more obvious ones. Based on previous city limits reports, we already know transportation is an external barrier.
Childcare is another thing. A lot of our students have little kids, and you have to take care of little kids, and you're always going to prioritize little kids. But we operate our classes like employment land, and we set a very strict attendance policy in the very beginning, and we say, hey, look, you have to demonstrate to us that you can show up on time, be punctual, because then we're turning around and we can vouch for you in front of our employers.
The Workforce Development Program at OCC also addresses internal obstacles, which includes shifting a student's mindset from that of a person in an hourly position to that of a salaried employee, and what's known as code shifting.
One of our students, I went and, you know, he didn't show up for class, and he kept, like, he was showing up late, and I called, and he couldn't, so I went down and run a little social gauntlet of people who didn't expect me to be walking through there. I go in, and the reason he didn't come is because his cousin was shot dead the other day, just, you know, day before, and the candles outside for him and everything. And he lived in the kind of housing situation that he has to defend himself. So as a matter of fact, he would carry a gun with him for survival, for absolute survival. Sweet kid, dedicated, really tried. But the tools that he had and the mindset he had to adopt for his survival are exactly the things that get you fired in a professional job. And so you have to be one person in one moment in order to survive. And then if you want this kind of stable lifestyle where you have a car and, you know, a white picket fence and however many kids and that you support and raise happily, then you have to switch that. But during the transition, you have to be able to hold both and go back and forth multiple times a day. And that's a really hard thing. That's one of those internal barriers that takes a lot of work.
Obstacles not only occur for the job seeker, but also for the employer. Again, Dominic Robinson.
I think there's a lot of employers that maybe aren't comfortable taking a leap of faith with a population or an individual that they see to be risky. And a big part of our job is to help change that perception and help people understand that oftentimes they're overlooking their best talent, which is, I think, something we've done really well. But that's a big barrier, too, is just perception. And you know, you might call it bias on the employer side.
One tool used by WorkTrain to reduce misperceptions of what an ideal job candidate looks like is a candidate profile, which is developed through extensive input from the employer regarding basic characteristics, aptitudes, and measurable skills needed for a specific role, oftentimes removing barriers.
So we've gotten many employers to kind of waive, whether it's a GED requirement or, you know, certain kind of biases around criminal backgrounds or anything else, and just say, if we're going to vet people, we're going to train people, we're going to get them through this, and we're going to bring them to you, will you interview them? And the answer is inevitably sure. And then when we get into that point, we've yet to have the experience where employers don't generally love who they're getting.
As an example of the effectiveness of this approach, take healthcare. WorkTrain graduates in this industry have retention rates of over 80% after 1 year, compared to the industry average of 50%. In a recent survey, 75% of these same workers were not hired when they went through the traditional job-seeking process prior to their WorkTrain experience. In reflecting upon workforce development efforts to date and looking to the future, practitioners are very proud of what's been accomplished, but have a clear understanding that more needs to be done.
All of these things are very rewarding, and I feel that are making a positive impact over the community and across the community, and I think that we began in 1995, and I think over the course of the years, people have realized that truly the Jobs Plus program, in conjunction with the Department of Social Services today, they're anti-poverty programs, and they really do want individuals to succeed.
Within the whole workforce system, I say we have to continue to fall more on the side of seeing people as people rather than seeing people as clients. There are a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good things and seeing people as people. By the nature of our organizations, we have to have efficiencies. So we have rules and processes, and then the person ends up needing to adapt themselves to us. But we, as service providers, training providers, just let's keep remembering that if somebody needs to stretch, it should be us.
I don't know if it's a broken system, but it's a system that certainly needs a lot of needs some better alignment, and that's obviously a big part of what we're trying to do. And hopefully by creating examples of what that looks like, that maybe others will continue to do it, and we have a lot to learn too.
For City Limits, this is Brian Moore.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.